Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendship, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power.
No, so close.
It's not that word.
Go ahead.
Girl power. It's girl power.
Girl power.
Defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
I'm Just Egg.
Just, she's really, don't you think she's getting so good at that intro, listeners?
So bad.
So, it's good to see you.
You too.
Yes.
You too.
We have a subject near and dear to my Catholic schoolgirl heart, which is martyrdom.
Yes, we do. I'm not a fan myself. But
I know I've been there, done that.
And I know people who are like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have a lot to say about this letter. So why don't you get right to it, Jess?
I will. Dear ladies, I currently work in healthcare and write in my spare time. A lot of people around me look to me to provide them with healthcare, whether or not I'm at work. I went into healthcare to pay for my expenses as an artist. I have had family members contact my friends to talk me out of going into writing.
Oh.
I have missed work, rescheduled appointments, and given up my free time to take family members to their medical appointments. This particular family member, Gertrude, not her real name, has a husband and three kids. But when I was in the hospital with dangerously low anemia and a blood clot which traveled to my lung, her family never visited me. She said she did not want me to run into other family members at the hospital because she was at odds with them. I have paid for vacations for family members and friends, taken them to needed medical appointments, and helped them plan their family members' funerals in their time of grief. I've even helped one of them get self-published, but she will not market her work. This seems like underhanded sabotage to me. I am moving forward with my creative dreams. I do not like being placed in the permanent caregiver role in service to people who are not cognizant of what I need as a human being. Please advise. Thank you. Tired.
Tired.
Yes, tired.
Okay.
Tired.
Listen, hon. Tired. You are letting yourself be a doormat here.
Yes, yes.
No one is doing this to you.
Yes.
You know, you say that you have to bring them to medical appointments and give up your spare time and that you're put in this position. This is you agreeing to be the doormat. You lay right down and say, please walk on me. So what you could say is, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not available.
Yes.
Boom.
Yes.
Mic drop.
Yes, you could do that. It's true.
You have your own life. You have your own health issues. You have your own dreams that you want to work towards. So why are you sabotaging yourself being everybody's nursemaid?
Yes. And I noticed too in this letter that there is an implicit transactional relationship going on here where you, tired, do things and expect to get things for it in return.
Right.
And perhaps you use that as your currency. You take people to their medical appointments because you have an expectation of getting something for that.
Yeah.
And to that I say, stop. If that's why you're doing it, stop. You do it because you do it. You want to help your family members and you do it. If you can't spare the time to help your family members, then you can't do it. And that's what you say. I'm so sorry. I can't spare the time that day. Perhaps I can help you another day. Mm-hmm. You have to really get some boundaries set up here.
Yeah.
The other thing I thought you could do is Oprah, the great and powerful, said something when she had her show on TV, not on her own network, but when she had it on TV, where she talked about loaning money and how, especially back in the day when she didn't have money, she wouldn't loan anyone anything. She would give it if she could afford it because she didn't expect to get it back and she didn't want to put that dynamic on their relationship. Mm-hmm. So do that with your time, I say, that if this is something that you can do, give it without expecting anything back. If you're expecting people to give back to you, that's where your disappointment comes in, tired.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to sort of manage that expectation.
Right. I think that the tone of your letter to me was you're resentful, mm-hmm. you're angry, and you continue in this role. But, you know, you're allowed to say no. The thing is that you haven't, and so as Joss was saying, you can't have it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Do it because you want to, because you like being helpful, because you get to spend some time with them. It makes you feel good. But don't bitch about it later.
Right.
You know? So do it with a happy heart without sort of keeping score of, I've done 4 things for you. What have you done for me?
Correct. That doesn't make a good relationship. People are tuned into that very immediately.
Yeah.
Right? And they don't like it.
Right. But you can't blame your family and friends because you've done things for them, because you are the one who decided to do it. And I think what rang true or close to home with me was that, is this bigger question, is why do you give yourself away?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that you're not a good enough person, that mm-hmm. you're not a nice enough person, and you need to prove this by being Johnny on the spot with mm-hmm. rides and medical diagnoses at parties and whatnot? Why do you have to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have to keep a list of, these are the good things that I've done?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't think you're a really good person or friend. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have this insecurity about yourself, and so you make up for it by going to these lengths.
Mm-hmm.
But stop being passive.
Aggressive.
Yeah, passive-aggressive. You know, no one has put you in this role. You've allowed yourself to be put in this role. You stepped up. You've diagnosed them.
Mm-hmm.
You've taken them to the doctors.
Mm-hmm.
and if someone asks you for medical advice, you can say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not really comfortable doing that.
Right.
It would be much better if you saw your doctor.
Exactly. But I also think that you're placing on your family members and friends the expectation that they're supposed to help you. And it would be so much easier if you said that explicitly.
Right.
That you
I'd
would
like you to help me.
I'd like support.
Yeah.
I'd like you to be a resource for me mm-hmm. right now. And I'd like your help. Instead of expecting it based on something that you did a few weeks ago or a year ago or whatever.
Or 5 years ago.
Or 5 years ago or whatever.
I was talking to a friend of mine just the other day. And she was talking about how she had postpartum depression. And she really expected people to figure that out and that they should have known and that she has a hard time asking for help, but they should have known that she needed help.
Mm.
And I said to her, you know, I would have been hesitant to help too, because, mm-hmm. you know, if you seemed very shut down and just like, I'll do it myself and I mm-hmm. know what to do and I'm fine, I would have believed you
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. I should believe you.
Yeah.
If you really needed help, then you should have said, please come,
yes.
make me some food, and
right.
clean my bathroom.
Absolutely. Be explicit in your needs.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And you can't blame people for not reading your mind.
Right.
They might look at you and say, well, you know, tired, she's always great. You know,
mm-hmm.
she'll always drop everything and take me to the doctor and
right.
visit me in the hospital and knit a sweater for my kid.
Right.
You know, if you don't do that, if those things don't bring you joy and you don't do that with a happy heart, then stop doing them.
Yeah, I
okay?
agree.
Because you're resenting them for the things that you gave them.
Right.
That is not fair.
It's absolutely not fair. And I also think that their interpretation of what you do for them and how they respond to that is maybe something that you're not seeing. So maybe you did take someone to an appointment, and maybe they bought you a coffee and they think that's a fair exchange.
Yeah, right.
So,
but if they're in that position of sort of like, well, you have nothing better to do, tired, so please get
right.
the car, you need to correct that.
Right.
You need to correct that.
Right.
Don't wait for them to realize, wait, she might be writing. She might be taking a class this week.
Right.
Maybe she's at work. Maybe I shouldn't bother her. You need to stick up for yourself.
Right.
And then there was a little thing about your friend or family member who self-published a book, and you said she won't market it, and you're taking that as an insult
yeah.
to you. It's not about you.
It really isn't. I'm not sure what that has
yeah.
to do with you at all, actually.
You know, you said it was like underhanded sabotage. She's only hurting herself.
She is. How is she hurting you at all?
Maybe she's not ready.
Yeah.
I think that you view it as, I gave her my time and expertise.
Right.
She owes me to follow through.
Right.
And it's just not, it's not your thing.
Right.
You gave your advice and expertise and she decided what to do with it.
Right.
That's okay. That's up to her. And
it
I know
is.
It's frustrating.
It is.
To help a friend. You know, like how many times have I organized your counter, Joss?
And it's
Too
still
many.
Kind of disorganized as right. we speak. But when you do that, I say thank you and I feel like the transaction is done.
Yeah. And I also, yeah. you know how I am. It makes me very happy to tidy and organize. Does. And
did we tell everyone about how you came and rebuilt my pantry?
I think we did.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was so happy. I was, you know, I love to organize things and you needed the help and we all just sent it on your place. But that was fun for me.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed doing it. And I didn't go back home and think, okay, Joss owes me half a day to entertain me. And, you know,
right.
Certainly like I wouldn't ask you to come do the exact same thing for me.
Right.
You know,
right.
We have
right.
different strengths or different right. people. So maybe the friend you helped with self-publishing brought you flowers one day
right.
or took you out to dinner or lunch.
Right.
And again, she feels like, oh, I think I thank you for that. I
right.
think we're even.
Right. Etiquette only demands that she says thank you.
Yeah.
And if she did that, then she's done. Anything else you're feeling now is you putting that on her.
Yeah.
Is you assuming a lot of things that are probably not in play here.
Yeah.
So I would really hold back on making those kind of assumptions and analyzing situations that lead you to make those assumptions and only work with the evidence you have
yeah.
in your hand.
I think when you cast yourself in a role as the helper, then you have to look at how everything seems to make that true.
Mm-hmm.
They take me for granted.
Mm-hmm.
They always expect me to drop everything. If you're making that true and you're not giving them something else to work with, like maybe she's not the helper. Maybe she's the writer. Maybe she's the nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she's the person with her own life who's doing something really fun this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at yourself in that way, you tend to gather evidence that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
I do exactly know what
so
you mean.
So you think like, oh, well, you know, all she bought me was a grilled cheese sandwich
mm-hmm.
when really she owes me a steak dinner.
Yeah.
Then you're going to say like, so she takes me for granted.
Right.
And if you have friends who are this callous towards you, who won't visit you in the hospital, who really give nothing back, you need to ask yourself, why do I put up with that?
Right.
Where's my self-worth? And
why do you put so much effort into that yeah. relationship?
Right. When you put effort and energy into these black holes of people,
mm-hmm.
and then you think, wow, they just sucked all the energy and
mm-hmm.
didn't give anything back. Listen, you know who they are.
Right.
You know how they act. Why do you keep putting your head in the car door to slam it? You know?
Right.
I mean, you should kind of figure this out.
Right.
And if you don't, then you have to be honest with yourself and say, I guess I like being a martyr.
Yeah.
I guess I get something out of that.
Yeah.
You know, all this selflessness and sacrifice for people who don't reciprocate makes me feel holy.
Yes.
You know, makes me feel superior. And if that's true, I mean, that's okay.
Just if that's what you want.
Stop being miserable about it.
Stop being
Own
miserable.
It,
yeah.
Right?
I would say too, I suspect that you leap to offer to be helpful.
Yeah.
No one's asked you to be helpful, but you leap. Someone needs help. Oh, I can take you to your appointment.
Yes.
No problem. And they don't even necessarily have to ask you for help. And now you want to become a writer. You really want to pursue that. I would be a bit more guarded about my time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to offer. And if they ask, you only give as much time as you are willing to give away
yeah.
for free.
I have a half an hour to spare this week.
Yes.
You know,
I can help you then.
I will help this person, which means I won't be able to help these three.
Right.
And be okay with that.
Yeah.
But because I've sort of been in this situation of feeling the need to prove that I'm a good person, to, you know, to show it, you know, actions speak louder than words. It took me a long time to realize, like, maybe I'm just thinking that I have to prove it because it's not true,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, years of therapy and reading and thinking have made me realize, you know, my baseline is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And I don't need to turn myself inside out and be everything to everyone
right.
to be a good person.
Absolutely.
But
not.
Those things come naturally or they don't. And I think that you're getting something out of this.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound super healthy.
I don't think it's healthy at all.
If you're going to stick with the status quo, then at least say to yourself, I do this to myself, mm-hmm. so I must be getting something out of it.
Right. And then spend some time trying to figure out what that is.
Yeah.
I would say also that if you are interested in making a change and being a bit more healthy in your responses to people, creating some boundaries, it sounds like to me from your letter that there is an expectation from your family and friends that you are the person they can yeah. call to do whatever. And if you're interested in changing and being healthier, that dynamic is going to be very difficult for them to get over. They're going to have the same expectation that I will call tired and she will come and help me clean my house.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say, I'm sorry, I can't do that, there's going to be some blowback. So prepare for that.
Yeah.
Prepare for that.
And don't feel guilty about doing
no.
things that are in your best interest.
Correct.
You know, for your own self-care, for your own hopes and dreams, you know, you deserve that time and you don't have to apologize for it. And the people who think that you should apologize for it or discourage you from pursuing those things are insecure themselves.
Correct.
And you don't have to tolerate their insecurity.
You don't. And you can also, with your family and your friends, be extremely explicit in what you need. I really can't help you today. I'm writing. This is incredibly important to me, and your support would mean so much.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that they understand that.
Right. And if you're speaking at a library, say, hey, I'm speaking at the library, and I would really love for you to come. That would mean so much to me.
Yeah.
I hope to see you on Tuesday at 7.
Right.
And if they don't come, take note.
Right.
You know, we always say this, friendship should be reciprocal.
Yeah.
It's not one person shoveling for the other and the other person sitting there with a cup of coffee
right,
watching, you
right,
know?
Right.
So take a good hard look at what you want and how you're depriving yourself from getting it. Take some responsibility in this situation and these dynamics and realize that you were absolutely complicit in creating this situation where you're always expected to come through.
Yeah.
And no one has to come through for you.
Right, right.
And good luck. Mm. Oh, we wish you the best. Mm. And let us know how it goes. We would love to hear back from you.
Yeah.
And see what happened when you set some of these boundaries down and said no and
right.
asked for people to be reciprocal.
Right.
So good luck. Now, Joss.
Yeah.
We put out the call for embarrassing personal problems.
And people just stepped right up.
Thank you, listeners.
I'm so appreciative.
We feel seen. We feel validated.
We do feel seen. We do feel seen.
And I have a really delicious, embarrassing
yes.
personal problem from our Midwestern gal here.
Just before you read that, I should let you guys know that she went and filled out the form on our website for embarrassing personal problems, which you can do too. And there are starred ratings.
Yes.
So if you want to rate your embarrassing personal problem, you can do that also. And this Midwestern lady self-rated her embarrassing problem. She gave herself 4 stars, which means my friends gave me a standing ovation
and
for my EPP.
Yeah. And you're about to see why. Dear ladies, you asked for embarrassing personal stories, and since you've given me countless laughs and insightful moments regarding female friendships, I thought I'd deliver. I live in the Midwest, but before that I lived for 33 years in the Pacific Northwest, and it didn't snow as much as it does here in the Midwest. I work in the healthcare field, and often at lunchtime we just need a change of scenery. So a coworker, Matilda,
not her real name,
and I went across the street carefully because there was snow and ice everywhere. Stupid Midwest. We had a nice lunch and made our way back to work, and I noticed that Matilda was holding up her scrub pants by the knees so the hem of her bottoms wouldn't get wet. I'm not sure why, but I thought that was the funniest damn thing I'd ever seen, and I started to full-on belly laugh at her, cackling so bad I had to bend over and put my hands on my knees because I was laughing so hard. The next thing I knew, I was looking up at the sky and my head was sore. That's not the embarrassing part. Oh, no. It wasn't that I fell while laughing at Matilda, who was wisely paying attention to each step, nor that I hit my head on the ice. Nope. Apparently, my lack of coordination is directly related to lack of bladder control. Yep, I pissed myself while lying on the ground. What's worse is that I had to go back to work with Matilda, tell my boss, and ask for an hour to go home and change and come back to work. I'm not a shy person, so the story was around the clinic by the time I got back. I'd only been at this job for a few months by that time. I'm celebrating 4 years next month at the same clinic. Of course, that's not 4 years free of pissing myself. Apparently, if I fall, my bladder does the same. Even last winter, I fell in our driveway going to help my husband, who got my car stuck in a snowbank, and I pissed myself.
Awesome.
I can't even blame my kids because they were both C-sections. This will be my 13th winter here in the Midwest. I'm sure I'll have another story for you after that. Thanks for the laughs and doing this podcast. It's the only podcast I listen to.
Oh, thank you.
Midwestern gal.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And, you know, been there, done that. And I have to say...
You have?
No. I actually haven't. But I've watched my mother do it.
Oh, dear.
And I can tell you, nothing brings me as much joy as watching that poor woman fall down. Because... She does it, you know, she's not like teetery and elderly. She's just clumsy like
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
And there was a time when I picked her up at the train station and I went to get in the car. She went around to the passenger side and then she was just gone. And I said, Mom, I looked around. She had slid under my car. her little head with the fizzy hair was sticking out. I had to go pull her out from under the car.
That's awesome.
And she was laughing so hard that she peed herself. And then she had to sit in my car. So there were all sorts of challenges. But
nice.
We laugh so hard. When someone in our house, our family goes down,
yeah.
It's cause for great joy that here on the land.
Joy. That is fantastic.
It's twisted, but it's true.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Haynes.
And I'm Just A.
And we're best friends
forever.